This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are about to witness an evolution. On each episode, we will take a deep dive into the career of a legendary wrestling superstar, looking at all of the elements that led to and contributed to their long-term success. With your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling, welcome back to the latest episode of The Evolution of... I am your host, Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining me tonight on my my special show I do here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. Each episode, we take a deep dive into a career of a great legendary wrestler, and tonight is no different. This guy is a legend. He is one of the greatest villains of all time, a great character, one of the greatest talkers. Anybody who grew up watching wrestling in the 80s either really loved him or really hated him, and that was what he was going for anyway. But it's not my favorite wrestler, it's my guest favorite wrestler we're going to talk about. Who is that guest, you're asking? Well, he is a co-host on the Extreme Three-Way Dance, as well as This Week in the NFL over on the North-South Connection. Quite often you can hear him as the third man in the booth on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling, on this very feed, the wrestling feed on the Place to Be podcast, The Mothership, as well as he joins me and Mr. Criscolo and the Doctor on Year and Pop, Jay Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, how are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm great, Andy. I hope you had a great summer, and this is a great show to bring in the fall. I was a little inactive during the summer as far as podcasts, but we're going to pick it back up for the fall, and I'm honored to be here tonight. Mm-hmm. To discuss the great one, let's, we'll let the cat out of the bag. It's a rowdy, rowdy pipe. Mm-hmm.
Yes, tremendous choice. Tremendous choice, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, I love the guy. I'm a fan of his. I always enjoyed him. A little incoherent as a commentator at times, but he did the job. He you know, elicited a response, like I said earlier. But, you know, why are we talking about Roddy Piper tonight? What makes him your favorite guy that you want to do a deep dive into his career?
Okay, well, everybody knows, I'm the old man of the crew, so I grew up in the 70s watching Bruno Sammartino. During that era, was my favorite. And then once it got to, like, Bob Backlund, I kind of checked out for a few years. And also, I was... in those teenage years where stuff like, a girl with a nice pair was a lot more important than wrestling. And but then I kind of latched back on. I got caught up with the rock and wrestling connection, of course, because of this gentleman. All everybody was talking about was Piper hitting a snook on the head with the coconut, and then Piper clocking Lou Albano with the gold record and all that. And then I got back in, what a subtle score. And unfortunately, I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, it's like
I've been
drug.
On that train, and that's another story that I regret. But I never regretted watching anything with Roddy, and it's just tremendous.
Yeah, he was a guy that we're going to get to all the different time periods and some of the highlights of his career, because not all of his highlights were in the ring. Roddy, he's kind of a unique, where, you know, there are probably as much, if not more, things we could talk about outside the ring involving in wrestling where Roddy was, the catalyst or the shit stirrer, if you will, of a plots and getting angles going and developments and all that kind of stuff. And he was a guy that titles didn't matter, although he did win his fair share of titles. Not a lot in the, in as far as you can we can remember, because a lot of them were done, you know, prior to the WWF run, or you know, some in the on the indies or whatever. But yeah, he is a we have a new show over on the Pop Feed, making Mount Rushmore, and if we ever did a Mount Rushmore of wrestling villains. I think Roddy's on there, no questions asked. Do you agree, Johnny?
Yes. The heel work for 84 and 85 is, in my opinion, is the best ever.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of get into it, though. Let's kind of set the stage. So he was born Roderick George Toombs on April 7th, 1954. He's actually Canadian, but he has a Scottish heritage. So he was billed from Glasgow, had a signature kilt and bagpipe entrance music, and became known as Roddy Ray Piper or the Hot Rod, displaying this trademark Scottish rage. So he headlined events, all kinds. He was born in Saskatchewan, and he started training around 1969, actually, and was in the AWA. He made his first match and with Larry Henning over there, and then he switched his name to he had come in under trying to find it right here in my notes. He was called Roddy the Piper, I guess by mistake, and then it just morphed into Roddy Piper. He was a jobber in the AWA, the NWA Central States Territory, the Eastern Sports Wrestling Association. And he also worked in Texas and Dallas and Houston. So then he goes on to California, and he became a top villain in early 1976 for Gene LaBelle's NWA Hollywood. Now, are there any recordings of any of these matches from the 75 yeah, to 80 period?
I wish. Yeah. I wish. There's a famous incident where he riled up a lot of the Mexican fans, and he would always talk bad about him. There was a famous, then he vowed to apologize to them that he was going to play the Mexican national anthem on his bagpipes, and he wound up playing La Cucaracha, which I wish there was tape for that, because he caused quite the riot.
Yeah, like I said, shit stirrer. Yeah, he wrestled against Chavo Guerrero Sr., and Hector. He also wrestled Hector Guerrero, and lots of Killer Tim Brooks and Rick Martel. So then he goes on to Georgia in the Mid-Atlantic Territory, where he beat Jack Briscoe for the Mid-Atlantic title. Then he defeated Ric Flair for the U.S. belt, which turned to a feud. Do you have any recollections of this time when he was in Georgia and the Mid-Atlantic region?
Oh yes, this is there's a lot of the Mid-Atlantic is on the network. I would recommend July 10th, 1982. It's one of the greatest episodes of all time when they have Roddy challenging Jack Briscoe for the title at the time, and Roddy actually stole Briscoe's belt. And at the beginning of the show, he'll said he'll return the belt for a match with Briscoe for the title, and he demands that they put up $10,000. So David Crockett hands him only like $6,000, and Roddy's like, "What's this?" And I want the cash. And he's like, "We don't take checks in Scotland." And then Wahoo McDaniel and Ricky Steamboat come out, and they put up $2,000 each. So they put out the $10,000 in cash. And it's the funniest thing. Roddy grabs like the cash from Piper, and David Crockett's like, "Give it back." It's just this whole episode is classic. And then Piper's like, "You're scum. Where's my $10,000?" And so eventually, Wahoo and Steamboat comes out, and Roddy demands that Wahoo and Steamboat that they leave the TV studio, and if they happen to interfere, that he wins the $10,000 in the belt automatically. So it's a great match with Jack Briscoe, And eventually it goes to the floor, and Roddy hits Briscoe with a roll of coins, without the ref seeing it. And, of course, Bob Caudle and Crockett are snitching. They see it right away, but the ref doesn't see it. And Roddy hits him with a roll of coins and wins the title, and he grabs the money. And it's so great after. He's just, like, all exhausted, saying, "I told you so." You see, he's sitting there, holding the money and the belt with his plaid tights. And then Caudle and David Crockett are like, "You hit him with a roll of coins. That's right there." And they're showing in the ring, the pennies are strewed all over the ring. And Roddy's like, no, the people there, they threw that from the crowd. They threw those coins in there. And then Roddy just totally bragging. Who's the winner? And, I hit him with nothing but power. Just great heel work. But also it was different because usually the only time the heels got over was with, like, outside interference. And even though he did cheat, he did it all by himself, and he outsmarted, like three or four guys. And, and Bob Caudle and Crockett, they're all pissed. And then Briscoe and Steamboat and Wahoo, they're all pissed. And Roddy just outsmarted him by himself. Just great work. Yeah. Tremendous. Check it out. July 10th, 1982, Mid-Atlantic. It's on the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then he actually became a face for a little while.
Georgia Championship Wrestling. Ironically, it was a month after another great one. GCW isn't on the network, but it's readily available on YouTube. Where Don Morocco was kind of bullying Gordon Soley and pushing him around, and Piper was on commentary with Soley at the time, and he was the heel commentator, but Morocco was kind of a bully in Soley, and then eventually Morocco was like pushing Piper too, and then a wild brawl breaks out, but Roddy saves Gordon Soley, and that's another classic moment from 8/28/82. You can find that on YouTube, and that was his big face turn with just a wild brawl with Morocco, and from there he went on as a face to have great matches with, like, Slaughter, Ric Flair, and Sergeant Slaughter, Ric Flair, and Greg Valentine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a famous match with Valentine where it was a dog collar at the first Starrcade.
Starrcade 83, yes. Mm-hmm. That's you can find on the network, obviously. Everybody's familiar with that one, where a very bloody match where Roddy lost hearing in his left ear, about 50 to 75% hearing in that, which kind of stuck with him as he moved on to his next venture. But that's another great match with Hammer Valentine. Everybody knows about that one.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it too. Then he had a really short stint. In this time, he did some matches for Vince Sr., actually, where he was, had a handful of matches. But then he comes in 83.
And... Yeah, going back to 79, mm-hmm. where his actual first match in MSG, this is another one that's tough to find. Usually the house shows you could dig up, but in 79. And ironically, his first match at MSG was he beat a jobber named Frankie Williams, who we'll talk about later. but also in one of his first appearances, he kind of got messed with that he was going to come out and play the bagpipes. But it turned out that Freddie Blassie stuffed toilet paper in the bagpipes. So he went to blow and nothing came out. So, yeah. So he kind of got fucked with that first. That was back in 79. So that's why he went to the Mid-Atlantic and Georgia and Crockett. But he would make his triumphant return.
Yeah. All right. So then 83, when Vince Jr. contacts Piper, who assisted in serving as contract with Crockett before starting his run in 84. He debuted as a manager because of the injuries. During a Starrcade match, he managed Dr. D. David Schultz and Mr. Wonderful, but eventually his run as a manager quietly ended, and he started wrestling full-time. He was also given his own interview segment, probably one of the greatest interview shows in the history of wrestling, Piper's Pit, on Championship Wrestling, and he started a run. The segment ran for about 3 years, and you mentioned it earlier. We had some very famous segments. We have, just think about what happened on Piper's Pit. We have the Snuka Coconut incident.
Yes. Everybody knows about that one. Mm-hmm. That led to a tremendous feud. We could talk more about that, but I think what really introduced them was there was a jobber named Frankie Williams. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with this, it's on the Roddy Piper's Greatest Hits on the Coliseum video section of the network. And, Just a schlub jobber named Frankie Williams. Roddy asked him where he's from. He says, "I'm from Columbus, Ohio." And then Roddy asked him, Have you ever lost a match in Columbus, Ohio? And Frankie Williams says, yes, I have. And Roddy's like, I have never lost a match in Columbus, Ohio. and then he just runs down Frankie. And then he calls him a coward. And Frankie friggin' snaps and, like, grabs a microphone from Piper and kind of, like, hits himself in the face with the microphone. It's so funny. And then, you know, and then he stands up to Piper. And Piper eventually just beats the friggin' living snot out of him.
Yeah.
And friggin' Vince is going, oh my God, that's incredible! And Vince chimes in, and then of course, you know, after he friggin' gives Frankie a beat, and Piper says the famous, "Just when they think they got all the answers, I change the questions."
Hey. Yeah, and he also had was insulting Bruno during a Piper's Pit, and led to a feud that ended in a steel cage match.
That's later in '86, but. Another forgotten one was when he had Andre in there, and Andre he asked Andre where he's from, and Andre says none of your business, and Andre kind of roughs him up a little, and this is also on that on the home video of Roddy's greatest hits, where it led to a big match. This is kind of forgotten because it was before like the war to settle the score, but. A match with where Piper teams with David Schultz, Dr. D, versus Andre and Snuka, and this is before the coconut incident. So him and the Snuka feud wasn't that hot. It was really just him and Andre, and it's a tremendous match. And during that, Piper takes out a pair of brass knuckles and he bloodies Andre, and they got to stop the match in the middle. And they actually bring the stretcher out because Andre is all blooded out. It was for me, it was really a shock to see because you never see Andre that vulnerable.
No.
So for Andre to have a respect to lay down like that for Roddy, and the crowd is like stunned. So Andre kind of there's a stretcher. You're not going to stretch Andre out. So like six guys come out to carry Andre out, and eventually Andre comes back with his head wrapped up in the spirit of '76, because Snuka decided to Snuka was fighting them both off, and the crowd is just sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andre comes back all bloody, and then Piper's standing with. Piper's got Andre's blood all over like his legs and his tights. It really looks a hot match. And Andre comes back and storms in and ends in a screw fest. But at the end, when they announce, it was important for wins and losses like that. So they announce Piper and Schultz got the win by DQ, which was a big thing. So it really made him look strong, and they kind of set a precedence that he wasn't going to lay down for anybody and just get jobbed out.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did watch that as part of my homework you gave me. That was part of that collection. So yeah, I looked that up on the network. It was. I had never seen Andre like, not that Andre got beat up, but I've never like you said, vulnerable. Like he looked human. Kind of thing.
Later on in the when Patera and Stud gave him a haircut, but this was before that. So this is a year before that.
Yeah, I mean, he was. You know, I had never seen Andre get bloodied up or anything like that or anything.
Yeah.
Before, but yeah, we see Andre, kind of get a shit kicking at times, but yeah, that there he was like all bloodied up, and he comes about with like. Like, the hero, the war, like literally like bandaged up like he was like at war, like on got injured on the front lines.
That's not Gorilla didn't miss a beat. He said the spirit of '76.
Yes, but then we're getting into though really, which is I wouldn't necessarily say it's peak Piper, but this is probably his strongest period. Like
this is where you direct. After that is with the Snuka, the coconut incident is. In '84, we're really just sent him to another level. I mean, that's something that people still talk about that today, and probably 30, 40 years from now, people will still be talking about that. That's just one of those, wrestling moments. Like as far as being memorable, if you put like the top 10 wrestling moments of all time, that would be up there.
Yes, definitely for sure. But then the a new phenomenon happens, and it's the Rock and Wrestling. Era starts where he gets involved with Hogan and Cyndi Lauper. MTV has their War to Settle the Score broadcast, which was covered. I forget where it was covered recently, but on one of the shows. But yeah, it sets up the very first WrestleMania with him and Orndorff as his tag partner against you know, Hogan and Mr. T. So kind of talk about how important Piper was in this whole thing. Because Piper, I think, during this whole period of time, you know, you have, we'll kind of get into it a little bit, but he is the, I think he's like the lead bad guy. He's the top foil, you know, opposed to, you know, Hogan, who is the head face. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, definitely. And a different type of heel, because he wasn't very physically imposing. And usually either the heels are like foreigners, yeah, or like, you know, like monsters, cartoon characters, or somebody overly you know, physically imposing, like your Big John Studs or something like that. But this was and this was all started because Captain Lou just turned face, apologized to Cyndi Lauper, and he was presented with you know, a gold record, and of course Roddy came in and cracks it over friggin' Lou's head, which is another great moment with Dick Clark there, and then it starts off with Hulk, and they have this big match, which was televised on MTV, which was huge at the time, and also they had like a mix of like Alan Hunter and Mark Goodman, those guys giving commentary, so it was big, and it drew a huge rating, and the match ends with Orndorff interfering, and Mr. T gets in there and beat down, which was huge, because it was a shock to see like Mr. T get physical, and that was, you know, it wasn't like today where everybody knew what was coming or what was going to happen, so you had to watch and see, and it was a surprise that, oh, you know, once it got physical, you knew that, like, you know, Mr. T is going to get in this and actually have a match, which because he was a huge star at the time with the A-Team.
Yeah. So, well, I just saw it actually. It was the MTV bio that was just aired on A&E recently. And they did a whole segment on the whole the War to Settle Score and the Rock and Wrestling connection, which was beneficial to both parties, to wrestling and MTV.
Yes.
But yeah, Piper. Yeah. If it wasn't for Piper, you know, it's like in anything. It's like in movies, in comics, whatever. You know, the hero needs that villain. And if Piper is not that tremendous villain, who knows where we would be now. You know, who knows how WrestleMania 1 would have been set up and how all that would have happened. Because Piper was just so tremendous. He was the shit that came out of his mouth. He was such a smarmy little prick. Basically, and just, it didn't care. Yeah, like you said, he just clocked Captain Lou with a gold record. I mean, and he was starting with Mr. T. I mean, back then, you know, nobody messed with Mr. T. I mean, that's Clubber Lang and BA right there. You don't mess with Mr. T. And he didn't give a shit.
But that spurred WrestleMania, because as everybody knows now, WrestleMania is pretty much just a house show with you know, two or three huge matches, and that match was pretty much the selling point for what's become a phenomenon. You talk about WrestleMania 97 in 50 years.
Yeah. And then, you know, he also had you know, and then of course, like, you know how you said, like, he's not physically imposing, but he always had bigger guys kind of surrounding. He had the Cowboy, you know, had his back. And then all those times during the whole, you know, Rock and Wrestling thing, he always had, you know, he had Big John Studd, he had Bundy, he had Nikolai and the Sheik. Like, he always had bigger guys around him that he, you know, he didn't need a Bobby the Brain Heenan or a Freddie Blassie like they did. He could talk. He, you know, would start. And anything you saw at the time, Piper was in the middle of. Piper was in the Goonies video. He was in, you know, in Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. He was the main bad guy on the cartoon. So, yeah, Piper was, you know, Hogan's equal, maybe not physically imposing, but he was his equal in other ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also in the ring, he would go toe-to-toe with, you know, as we already spoke about, he put Andre down, and with Hulk he would go toe to toe. He would sell and once in a while beg off and play chicken shit, but really not as much as your average heel. He would really hang in there, and he had some kind of a connection with Vince or something where he would not lay down, and he would not get pinned, and that kept him strong too. Mm-hmm. For some reason he had that cachet.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course then, you know, him and Mr. T, you know, kept at odds, and that leads to WrestleMania 2, where they were in the main event of the first third. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just wanted this. You know, the WrestleMania 1 match ends with Orton hitting Orndorff by accident, and I don't want to gloss over it, because after that Orndorff turns face, and it led to a great feud between them two, where mm-hmm. he's calling him Mr. Blunderful, and Orndorff turns face, and eventually turns on Hogan, but that's a little forgotten piece, where Orndorff and Piper had some great matches, and that was a great feud that carried over to the rest of 85 before going into 86, which they went back to Mr. T. I wish it would have been something with him and Orndorff to continue from WrestleMania 1, but instead they went back to the well with Mr. T and the boxing match.
Yeah, that would have been awesome if they had the main event of the Long Island portion. Now, did you go to that show, or were you watching?
Nah, yeah, I didn't go, but that's always people get tired of me saying that. I said it should have been like T and Orndorff. It should have been another tag team match. T and Orndorff versus Orton and Piper.
There you go.
Instead of the bullshit boxing match.
Yeah, right? I remember Orndorff took on Morocco, and I think it was like the opening match, actually.
It was only like 3 minutes. It was horrible, yeah. That's if, you know, if you want to rebook. But anyway, yeah, they did the match with Mr. T, and by the end, about 80% of the crowd was cheering for Piper. And when T wins by disqualification, it ends in a mess where, you know, T Piper body slams and whatever hits everybody. But the cheers for Roddy, and that was it. I obviously, that was the last time we would ever see, not ever, but for a long time, that was Piper was a face, because Vince heard those cheers, mm-hmm. and that changed it.
So a dollar signs. Yeah, Vince hears something and then he sees, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Piper. Yeah, this was kind of the end of his heel run. Like this is, you know, quite a couple year period for him, because it was just like I said, he was the guy, you know, that he made Hogan a huge star basically by being such a jerk kind of thing, you know, making Hogan look like such a hero, and Mr. T was so popular at the time. That, you know, being a jerk to these guys just elevated them so much. Yeah, and then he leaves, and he comes back, and in that time there, a new talk show develops called The Flower Shop, which is hosted by the late Adrian Adonis, and he also had, you know, Orton on there, and, you know, Piper spends weeks crashing the show and trading insults that leads to a couple of segments where he's humiliated by Adonis, Orton, and Don Morocco, and they destroy the original Piper's Pit set, and it kind of cements his face turn, and this leads to a hair versus hair match at WrestleMania 3, which was billed as Piper's retirement match because he was from wrestling before he left to become an actor full time. So kind of talk about his WrestleMania 3 match, Johnny. WrestleMania. This is really where it kind of became the big event, you know, that it is, WrestleMania 3. Because 1, you know, like you said, was like a glorified house show with a couple of big matches. 2 was an experiment, you know, and the 3 locations had a lot of, you know, memorable things. But 3 is really where the big, giant spectacle of WrestleMania really begins. You know, everybody remembers the carts and all that. And didn't Piper walk out, not take a cart? Right.
Yeah, he ran out. Yeah, mm-hmm. but first I want to mm-hmm. I just want to go over the face turn and his return, which was tremendous. Where all of a sudden Adonis is doing a flower shop and Roddy appears out of nowhere, and then Adonis keeps talking about AC, and then he's like, oh, so it's AC now. Well, looks like this is a case of AC Deucey, and just as soon as he returns, it's just you feel it, and that he's turning. And. And definitely with that, he took a big beat down with the face off with the Morocco, Orton, and Adonis, giving a real beat down. But during that time, he was really hot as a face, And this was a momentous occasion. Back then, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they would have like the most popular wrestlers, and like Hogan, like for 5 years straight, was the most popular wrestler. And for a couple months, there, Piper replaced Hogan as the most popular wrestler on their, you know, on their BS rankings or whatever. And it wasn't BS, but it was more important at the time. It was a big thing. At the time, his face turn was really hot with the with Adonis, and there's a match that the elimination match, which I went to right before WrestleMania, which was billed as his, you know, his last time in MSG, where it's Piper, JYD, and Steamboat versus Harley, Adonis, and Macho Man, elimination six man, which Piper is the sole winner, and that's another tremendous match to seek out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it's somewhere on the
from YouTube. March '87. It's either it's easy to find. The boys reviewed it on their show too.
Oh, that's awesome.
From the house show before WrestleMania. Yeah, and then getting into WrestleMania, of course it was kind of weird because, you know, he's so young, and but we know now retirement's all bullshit. But at the time I was naive. I was like, wow, it's sad because it's the last time that I'm going to see him. He's really retiring. And And yeah, as you said, he went down to the he ran down to the ring and got a tremendous pop, and the match with Adrian, a lot of shenanigans and stuff. But yeah, but that was one of the big pops of the night. Of course, you know, just second only to a Hulk slam and Andre. And there was a lot of great moments, but Roddy's match is right up there with Steamboat and Savage and Hulk. So that's not a small feat to hang in there with those guys, all because of the crowd. The match is funny, a lot of shenanigans. But Adonis gets his hair cut and looks ridiculous, and also he needed Piper needed Beefcake's help a little bit because they were trying to give Beefcake a rub for his face turn. Mm-hmm. But I just love the crowd reaction, and at the end, Roddy, you can see he was real happy that he embraced the crowd.
Yeah, just I remember, you know, all the histrionics of Adonis and the image of him going on the cart, you know, holding his head because he had just gotten his hair cut by Beefcake. that's a tremendous. That's underrated for that because it doesn't always get remembered because, you know, you got Hogan, Andre, you got Savage, Steamboat, and then you got, you know, more people remember, you know, the Little Beaver incident with Bundy than that. You know?
And even the six man, like everybody expected, you know, Danny Davis, everybody expecting to get his ass kicked, and he winds up winning. There's a lot of honky tonk. There's a lot of stuff on there, but definitely Piper is definitely in the top three with Steamboat and Hulk's win.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, and Piper's Pit actually does come back, and a very.
Unfortunately,
leading. Well, it was before WrestleMania 3, actually, which is where
house shows. Yeah, mm-hmm.
where the Andre heel turn really gets cemented.
Now, I'm glad you discussed that because recently I was with one of the bosses on the other feed. We were watching some superstars from that time, and that's another forgotten aspect where Roddy really. Juices that up with the Andre turn on Hulk. All that took place on Piper's Pit, and there was a moment like Jesse says he's going to produce Andre, and then like Jesse and Piper are going at it, and the crowd really gets hot for them too. So that's another underrated kind of forgotten part of the Hulk and Andre feud was how Roddy played a part in it, and then when eventually it went down, and Roddy does a famous "You're bleeding." To Hulk, he just tremendous work by that. He was really prepping for his acting work right there because he was tremendous in all of that.
Yeah. You couldn't just have an ordinary. This happened like an ordinary interview segment. This had to be. You had to have somebody in there
on Piper's Pit. Right?
Yeah, on Piper's Pit, somebody that could really, you know, with these giant, immortals, basically Hogan and Andre. You know, you're setting up probably the biggest match in the history of the WWF at the time, and you needed somebody in there to kind of like, you know, shepherd it along or be the catalyst in there and react and be able to hold their own. And Roddy is the only guy for the job at the time. So
yeah, even though it was still a little weird considering that that he was just such a major heel, and then you know, him and Hogan were killing themselves just a couple of years earlier.
But, yeah, wrestling logic.
But still, that's the thin line between love and hate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then he goes away for a couple of years. We could talk about maybe his movie career a little later. But, you know, he comes back from a 2-year hiatus. He comes back for WrestleMania 5, where he hosts a Piper's Pit, which is another very famous one. This one was in the middle of the ring. And at the time, a guy who was right in the, you know, a very, he was a character, I could tell you that much, very hated, you know, probably, well, he's, you know, he's probably Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer was around. When I'm talking about Morton Downey Jr., very famous for you know, the smoking and being kind of a, back of a term, a dick, you know, to people. And he hosts a Piper's Pit. Talk about that Piper's Pit at WrestleMania 5, Johnny.
I wish I didn't have to, but yeah, it's not one of my favorite Roddy moments, unfortunately. Some people actually like it. I didn't really like it at all. With Brother Love coming out there doing a stupid impression, and that's what hurts too, because first they play his music but instead they faked him out, you know, with Brother Love coming out dressed as Piper doing a stupid impression, and then when Roddy comes out, they play the music again, but it kind of, they already had the intro with the music, so it kind of killed his big pop of return. That was like a sore spot for me, because it really kind of killed his pop, because they already did the fake out with Brother Love. So then from there, I just didn't like, I didn't like the segment. Morton Downey was like, this was like a 1 year too late. He was hot for like maybe 6 months to a year. And this was like a year after, like his show was already going down. And plus, him with the wrestling crowd, it wasn't a good mix, because he was like trying to play up to the crowd, and like Roddy's really the face. So, and for Roddy to just, you know, to punk these two slobs, it didn't really make him look good either. And he didn't really have too many one-liners, too many good ones. So a disappointing return for me.
All right, cool. And then, you know, he goes on to do some hosting, you know, and some commentating. You know, I remember he hosted Primetime Wrestling with Gorilla. He ended up, you know, feuding with, you know, having feuds with Heenan and Rude and Bro Love. I remember him on commentary for, you know, Survivor Series 90, right? He was, he kind of took Jesse's place once Jesse left, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. And his first one was the SummerSlam 90, which is, not too much of a fan of him on commentary.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him, I still don't remember him as, you know, on commentary when The Undertaker's debut. Some of the, oh, yeah. look at those ham hocks. Oh, we little nighttime time, Val.
Actually, that was one of the few moments I like. But yeah, but if you listen to the Place to Be podcast, I have some issues with him on commentary with more the SummerSlam. Yeah, the Survivor Series not as bad, but yeah, more the first from the SummerSlam 90. Yeah.
Yeah, some of that, a lot of that show is incoherent. A lot of the promos are crazy. you know, although we just lost Animal today, but that promo with the Legion of Doom, Kerry Von Erich and Undertaker is the most nonsensical promo I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Yeah.
In wrestling, anyway. Yeah, but Piper was okay on commentary. I mean, in my opinion, but yeah, there were some things that came out of his head, like, where he was mispronouncing names and calling people different things. But, you know, then he comes back, you know, in 91, where he interferes in Rude's Intercontinental title defense against the Warrior at SummerSlam, which ends up costing Rude the title. And he ends up into that feud, and that leads into Survivor Series. So kind of talk about his return in 91 in his Piper feud. I mean, his Rude feud.
Yeah, that was actually 89. Was it again? The years are mixed up. I think it was earlier. But,
well, I'm going on
as far as the Rude feud.
Oh, I guess it was not. I guess
earlier,
it was,
but yeah.
That was
the SummerSlam vs. Warrior where Piper lifted up his skirt, and of course Rude couldn't help but look away and got distracted and lost to the Warrior. But that was good. It really. It got Piper back in the ring, and there were some good MSG matches There's a good cage match with Rude once again on the Place to Beat at the boys reviewed, that which Piper exits the cage victorious. That there's a walkout of Rude. There's some good matches there. So yeah, him and Rude were a good mix. They worked well together.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then it's stipulation if Piper would beat Rude, Heenan would have dressed as Santa Claus for an episode of Primetime.
Yes, that's very memorable. Bobby disrespects Santa Claus, and Piper winds up beating up Santa Claus, and gets kicked off of Primetime.
Yeah. You know, and sorry, and apologies for my research. Wikipedia is never inaccurate. So then he ends up feuding with Bad News Brown.
Yeah, the 1990 Rumble is another highlight.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing pop. I believe it was in Orlando when Roddy comes out, the crowd just goes sick, and then Roddy makes this crazy entrance, and I love a good crowd pop, and Roddy just had a hell of an entrance in that one, and unfortunately not too much of an exit where him and Bad News kind of eliminate each other and mm-hmm. get into feud. That's another downer for me. His feud with Bad News and subsequent match at WrestleMania is a real bust.
Yeah, kind of a low light.
Bad News didn't want to sell, and just a disaster. Piper with the half black. The less said about that, the better. That's one of the rare misses for Rod.
Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to support Virgil in his feud against DiBiase. But then, he has a motorcycle accident, but still present.
I think it was really like he had like hip surgery. I think that was kayfabe. The motorcycle accident. Well, there's various things, but he was out of commission. But they still use him. He really got Virgil over strong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we talk about Virgil. He's a big joke. Trying to sell pictures and for a homeless selling pictures at a rest stop or whatever, but for about 6 months to a year, Virgil was real hot in this feud, and it was because of Rod, man.
Mm-hmm. And then he ends up having a feud with Ric Flair and then he leads up to the 92 Rumble where he has a match with the Mountie for the Intercontinental Championship.
Sure. Getting back to the Flair, when Flair made his entrance, there's a huge angle with and that was the first time where between with Flair and Roddy, and that was a huge angle where we saw like Vince gets physical, or Roddy accidentally hits Vince with the chair and knocks out Vince, and that was like shocking at the time because it was like, oh, Vince, to see Vince go down. And fast forward to years later, it's funny that how we reacted to that, because Vince would definitely get physical. That was the very first time that you saw Vince go down. And it was such a shock at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was a shock that it set up the feud with the with Flair, that Roddy really loved Flair, behind the scenes as a person, because he took a pin on Flair at MSG. He laid down for him, he did the job for him.
Mm-hmm.
To put old Flair, and that was Roddy didn't just do that for everybody.
Oh yeah, well Flair's the man.
So, well, of course, yeah.
But they go back years, and they're both legends.
Yeah, but Roddy never took one. He never took one for Hulk. All their matches ended in
the schmazes. Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was big. That was big to put over Flair.
Mm-hmm. So he wrestles the Mountie at the Rumble, and he wins. Were you surprised that he won the IC belt?
Yeah, because Roddy didn't need a belt.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. He's going to be either the main event or the number two or match. No matter what, so he didn't really need the belt. So, but also that kind of signaled that they were going to give him a last run as kind of like a gift, and that we weren't going to see him too much anymore. So,
yeah,
it was a little bittersweet. But that was a great moment that when he won the belt, and you could see the joy in his face that he was really happy that he got that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd appreciated that too.
Oh yeah.
And then there was a subsequent match on the main event. Dude, it was a good one where the Mountie hit him with the shock stick, and Piper had like the suit underneath on the main event. And how he psyched out the Mountie.
That's awesome. And he doesn't actually hold a belt very long, though. Only
until WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania. So like 2 months, even in two, three months. And that match with Hart, Bret Hart, actually was, you know, I remember that being fairly good. I mean, I believe.
It is. It's very good. And also some of the buildup where Roddy sneakily playing heels saying, I remember, eating, going to your house and eating dinner. Your mom, would make sandwiches, one piece of meat. And, he would throw little digs in. great buildup. And a very good match.
Mm-hmm. He leaves for a little while again. And then he comes back at WrestleMania 10. In 94 as the guest referee between Bret and Yoko during the match. Lawler commented that he hated Piper and continued to talk Piper on the King's Court segment. And it culminates with Lawler bringing out a young skinny impersonator in a Piper t-shirt and kilt, forcing him to kiss his feet. Enraged, Piper agrees to wrestle Lawler at the King of the Ring. So what did you think of this feud with Piper and Lawler?
Well, yeah, the feud was okay. Unfortunately, the match it goes into the Miz territory, and that was the main event of the King of the Ring, and it's not very good. The less said about that, the better. That's a rough one. Mm-hmm. A lot of hit and miss after WrestleMania 3. It's a lot of ups and downs. You gotta go on the roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, Piper mostly transitions to more of a personality. You don't see him in the ring wrestling as much going forward. And, he comes in and I'm looking through this and like he was a referee again, and then he comes back in and he's, a commentator. Then he becomes interim president. So, he substitutes for Razor in a match at a house show in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And he wrestles the 1-2-3 kid and wins after hitting him with the bell.
Yeah, jack of all trades. Yeah,
yeah, and then he has a match, a feud with Goldust that leads up to WrestleMania 12. And they kind of like made a light of the OJ situation. Yes. With the chase
that goes into the hit category. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a pattern where like every other WrestleMania is is great Piper and then not so great, but that goes as a hit. That was very well done with the with obviously the film beforehand, and then they carried it over into the ring live. Mm-hmm. with that was well done how they did that. I like the backlot brawl a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're pretty much getting to the close of his WWE, WWF run. Do you have any final thoughts on Roddy's career up to this point?
The heel work from like 84 to 85 and Mania, that was just some momentous stuff. So that's always going to be the peak for me. Everything he does after that, it's going to be hard to top or even come close to. But I really like the his initial face turn. Also, is an underrated moment in 86. That's actually one of my favorite periods of all time in wrestling. That combined with Orndorff turning on Hulk. They were red hot back then with Orndorff turning on Hulk and Roddy becoming a new face. That was some great stuff from the late summer of '86 into the fall, leading to WrestleMania 3. That's it. If you ask me for one period, to watch like a 6 month period, I'll watch that stuff over and over again. That's going to stick with me for the rest of my life, and that really cemented my fandom. Unfortunately, I've been stuck ever since. trapped, some days watching the current problem, I was like, oh, why do I have to get addicted to this stuff? But,
Yeah, I know. Well, you watch what you want to watch, man. I know our friend Steve Bennett that doesn't watch anything after like WrestleMania 17. I think he told me once.
Yeah, I should have joined him, man.
So that's going to kind of close the book on this part of Roddy Piper's career, and this is going to close the book on our first segment here. But we're coming back with another segment where we're going to talk about when he goes over to WCW and some of what happens there and kind of like the twilight into his career. But he does make a return for a remarkable moment which Johnny will speak about when we come back. So with J.R. Senior D'Amato, I am Andy Etz, and we're talking about Roddy Piper here on Evolution. We'll be right back. Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the evolution of Rowdy Roddy Piper. I am Andy Etz, standing here with J.R. Senior D'Amato, breaking down the wrestling career inside and out of the ring of Rowdy Roddy Piper. But first, before we get back to talking about the great Scottish hero, let's talk about what's going on here around Place to Be Nation. Here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, there are tons of great shows coming out to you pretty much daily. We got PTB NXT, the NWA Saturday Special, Highway to the Impact Zone, NWA Crock and Roll, Wrestling's Chicken Salad, Main Event, Row 1 Seat 1, and the Gold Standard, the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast. Don't forget to check out the Place to Be Nation Pop feed with lots of great shows that I am on with, and Johnny's on with me on Year in Pop. We have Laughing Theater, which Johnny's been on a few times, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, Thing on TV, Piece of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, much, much more. Make sure you subscribe today. Don't forget, check out Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position, Home of Geek and Sassy, Talk of Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch, and The Journey Through Infinity, much, much more. And also, the North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George, the home of Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, Johnny's Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, Shrink Wrap, TNA Never Dies, Ruthlessly Aggressive, all kinds of fun stuff. Don't forget, check out the 2020 Stretch Project, Determining the Greatest WCW Match Ever. You have till New Year's Eve to do your research, promote matches, build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at the Facebook page for GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Don't forget, on the social media pages, the Greatest Song for a Movie Tournament is coming to a close. If you'd like to vote, you need to join the PTBN Tournaments group on Facebook. Just seek it out. Basically, Facebook removed making a poll options from pages. I think that's something to do with the upcoming election. So you can only do it in Facebook groups. So if you want to, you know, have your vote counted, just sign up for that group. And there you go. Be sure to check out placemission.com each and every day. New voices, fresh takes, bringing articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Matt's Live Disney, Disney Live Action Journey, Steve Riddle's Animated Disney column, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, all kinds of fun stuff. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use placemination.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Also, don't forget, check out our store, the PTB Wrestling Network store. Show off your favorite podcast logos on great merchandise like t-shirt, hoodies, and more. Just go to tpublic.com/user/placetobewrestlingnetwork. You can see it. It's on the Facebook page, and the link is on all the shows in Podbean. You'll find your way to there, or some great merchandise, because there are some tremendous shows with tremendous logos. All thanks to Jeff Jarvis, who does not get enough credit around here. The guy is great, and he designs all of our logos for us, and we thank him for everyone that he provides. So, Johnny, let's get back to the hot rod. What do you say?
Yes, sir.
All right, so he shows up in WCW in the fall of 96, makes a surprise debut as a fan favorite at the Halloween Havoc to insult the leader of the NWO, the current WCW heavyweight champion, which was Hollywood Hogan. So, Johnny, what do you think of the dynamic kind of reversing now, where Hogan is the heel and Piper's the face, as opposed to their original feud back about 13 years earlier?
Yeah, it's quite jarring. I rewatched the Halloween Havoc, the 1997, the cage match with him and Hulk, and to see Hulk playing like chicken shit heel and backing off, and Roddy as the strong face, it took a lot to get used to.
Oh yeah,
but also it was a star studded, and it was like the NWO was so overbearing, and it was obvious that they were the stars, whether it was Hulk or Bischoff or Nash or Hall. So this era is a little sad to watch Roddy, because he's really kind of in the background. There's Savage there, you got Flair, and it's really hard for him to stand out in this. And plus he's a lot older, and he didn't get as much time on the mic, although he did. And some of the promos were a little off. So this I'm not as big a fan of his WCW stuff. Although I did like that cage match where that's the one where Macho tries to interfere, and he jumps off the top of the cage and winds up hitting Hulk. Barely, he grazes Hulk. It was a dangerous spot. And then Roddy puts Hulk in the sleeper and gets a rare clean win over Hulk. And also in that 87, that 97 Halloween, that cage match, there's a fan dressed as Sting. And I'm just surprised this is on the network. They really showed it for like 10 minutes. First you see like a fan dressed as Sting somehow gets into the cage. And first like Hulk and Macho are beating him down. And then you see like Dillinger and all the security are in, and they're really giving him beat down. And it's hard to believe that the camera kind of stayed on him the whole time. That's just a little funny aside to that match.
So, but in November 18th of 96, Nitro, Piper shows up and basically calls Eric Bischoff out of nowhere. And he reveals that Bischoff is actually a member of the NWO, which ends with him getting attacked. And he kind of forms like a somewhat of a partnership, if you will, with the Horsemen. And they kind of go up against the NWO to represent WCW. And then later on in 97, they battle it uncensored in a triangle elimination match where he captains a team of Horsemen, which includes Chris Benoit, Stephen Michael, and Jeff Jarrett against the NWO, and WCW's team of Luger, the Steiners, and the Giant. Of course, what'd you think of that dynamic when he was, partnering up with the Horsemen for a little while?
Yeah, I prefer Roddy to solo, or maybe in a rare tag team, but mm-hmm. there was a lot of a lot of mess. Like you got six man matches with Piper and Flair and Kevin Green versus Hall, Nash, and Six, and just a lot of stuff is tough to keep up with, man. Mm-hmm. I prefer Piper as a solo.
Yeah, and then it has that him and Flair were teaming for a little while, and then the Horsemen end up turning on him, and Piper and Flair have that match at the Bash at the Beach.
Bash at the Beach, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember? What do you remember about that match?
Well, it was just good to see a rare where Piper got a rare victory over Flair. So I was still I was still marked for wins and losses, and it was good to see him go over there.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he goes on in 98, that Spring Stampede. He teams with the Giant, and he lost to Hogan and Nash in a baseball bat on a pole match.
God. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And then, he serves as a special guest referee between a match between Savage and Bret Hart, which Hart wins. But the following night, Piper changes his decision and declares Savage winner by disqualification. And just goes on to, kind of be like one of those former WWF guys who just kind of makes his way through, and they put him in all these matches and angles when he's really past his prime and shouldn't be going in there. And then he wins the, but he in February, though, of 99, he defeats Bret Hart to win his third United States Championship. The first two reigns being in JCP. Piper held the title for only 2 weeks until he lost it to Scott Hall at Super Bowl IX. What do you remember anything about this time period where Piper was winning the U.S. title?
Yeah, well, the match wasn't as good as the WrestleMania match when the it was on a Nitro too, for the U.S. title. But it was a surprise to see him get another title, even though it was a short lived reign. He lost it 2 weeks later to Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm. And of course, then the angle with Vince Russo portraying himself as the powers that be, which leads to Piper having a feud with him. And then Great American Bash, Flair defeats Piper by disqualification for control of WCW. And then he competes against Buff Bagwell in a boxing match with Mills Lane as the special guest referee. Yeah, Piper should not have gone back to boxing at all.
That was about as good as the Mr. T match. That was another rough one to watch. Yeah,
so then, the feud, continues on. Goldberg gets involved, and, they try to, do callbacks to some WWE stuff.
And yeah, Survivor Series, mm-hmm. Of course. Where Piper played the Dave Hebner role, calling for the bell when Hart was locked in the sharpshooter on Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg didn't submit.
Yeah, so then, he leaves not long after in July of 2000, and he kind of, muddles around a little bit. He goes to, does some indie stuff with Excitement Wrestling. And then he returns in March of 2003 by conducting a surprise run-in during the Hogan-Vince match where he attacks Hogan with a steel pipe. Hogan actually goes on to win the match, and then Piper goes on to align himself with Sean O'Hara at Backlash.
During his hiatus, I don't remember anything about the Excite Wrestling Affairs, but I do remember when he came out with his book, it was all right. It wasn't as intense. It's a short paperback. He glossed over most of his career. But during that time, he did make an appearance on the Howard Stern Show, which is you can find that on YouTube, which is weird seeing Howard. This was a time where Howard, he had a lot of wrestlers on.
I know he had Snuka on and a lot of other guys. So he kind of returns and goes back to his evil ways from 20 years earlier, where he attacks Hogan, and then they also go back and they have Rikishi on Piper's Pit, where he hits Piper.
They read through the coconut angle.
Yeah, what's old is new, basically. They bring back. They're gluttons for nostalgia sometimes.
Yeah, with Sean O'Hare as his new ace, this was a little flat, and it's surreal. If you go back and watch some of this stuff with the angle with Zach Gowen,
mm-hmm. where he takes his leg off.
That's another part of the Fed, which is mind boggling. That 6 month period where Zach Gowen was a headliner. Just nothing against him, but that was just so surreal.
Yes. He wrestled against Hogan under a mask
Yeah, Mr. that's America. Horrible, but do not rewatch that. Mr. America versus Piper. You could skip that one.
Mm-hmm. So
But that was actually the only time I think that Hogan got a pin on him. Well, some of those WCW matches, but in the WWF, I think that's the only one mm-hmm. where he got a pin on him as Mr. America.
Yep, so then... after this, they have a contract dispute, and Piper's kind of a little messed up behind the scenes, ends up going to TNA for a little while.
He did an interview with Brian Gumbel on Real Sports, uh-huh. and kind of talked about a lot of drug stuff and how. And kind of shit on wrestling, and not really Vince specifically, but it was a controversial interview where he opened up about how they don't take care of the wrestlers and stuff. So that was kind of when they gave him the boot again, mm-hmm. which is never permanent.
So yeah, so it comes to TNA for a little while. He cuts a promo on Vince Russo, blaming him for the death of Owen Hart. Piper gives him videotape messages, and then he crashes the Impact Zone, announces his talk segment in the pit with Piper. And on one in 2004 Victory Road, he interviews Jimmy Snuka, who refused to accede to Piper's demands of hitting him with a coconut. On December 24th, he interviews Hector Garza, interrupted by Hall and Nash. At Final Resolution, he refs a match between Jeff Hardy and Scott Hall, helping Hardy win. But that was his final appearance. So it was a short run where they tried to.
Unfortunately, none of those segments are recommended or reviewing or looking out for. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back though to the WWE because he gets announced that he'll be inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2005.
An all-star class. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite an all-star class. He went in with Hulk, Orndorff.
Basically the whole WrestleMania, a lot of WrestleMania 1 guys. So he holds a Piper's Pit at WrestleMania 21 where he interviews Stone Cold. And then in July, he receives a super kick from Shawn Michaels. And then he ends up feuding with Cowboy Bob and his son Randy after he gets attacked during Piper's Pit with Foley. While Piper defeated Orton, he made Bob submit in a six-man. So really, it was like giving Randy the rub to, right in the early parts of his career. And he kind of comes around. He has, Piper's Pit with Great Khali. He ends up teaming with the Highlanders, which is, get all the Scots together, I guess. He appears on the Raw Family Reunion with Money, Inc. and Arn Anderson, accompanying Ric Flair to ringside for a match with Mitch of the Spirit Squad. And then on November 5th, he would gain what would be his final championship in WWE, where he wins the World Tag Team Championship with Flair from the Spirit Squad at Cyber Sunday. And then he defeats they defeated Edge and Orton to retain the titles in a no DQ match with help from DX. And then they lost, though, the titles to Rated RKO on November 13th. So do you remember anything from this period of time when him and Flair were the tag champs?
Yes, that was a nice bit of nostalgia there to give them one last run with the belts. And actually on Cyber Sunday, the fans voted for them, so that was good to see. They didn't embarrass themselves in the ring, and it was still good to see, and it got over with the fans.
Yeah, and then he appears back and comes in 2007 to announce Dusty for the Hall of Fame. Also, he comes back in June for Vince McMahon Appreciation Night. And then the 2008 Rumble, Johnny, you were there at the at the Garden. Tell us about that moment, because I actually, I love the Rumbles. That's probably the one thing I rewatch more than anything are Rumbles, because you just love the pops and the surprises. And this was a legit surprise. I mean, both guys.
Yeah.
So kind of talk about how you felt and how it was being there with that crowd.
Yeah, there's nothing like an MSG pay-per-view, which unfortunately we'll probably never see again. But just a tremendous night. The crowd was hot all night, and like I said, it was such a surprise. You're going to get a couple surprises, but when he came out, just a tremendous pop, because I hadn't seen him live in 2008, probably since like 85. So in over 20 years, I haven't seen him live, and. Just amazing. The crowd went, and that was also a couple of entrances after the Snuka. So he came in, and then all the wrestlers kind of spread out and let him and Snuka just go at it for like a minute, just for nostalgia. That was beautiful. The only unfortunate, Roddy had the black leather coat, and he came down, and when he ripped that coat off, maybe he should have kept the T-shirt on.
Oh, because, yeah, that guy. Oh,
he, God. He was Roddy went up and down. With the weight about 20-30, and this was a this was a heavy Roddy. He had a little baggage there around the gut, man. That was a little sad to see. He should have kept the T-shirt on. that was the only rough part of that, but it didn't ruin it though. It was still a great moment. The second greatest pop of the night, fucking Cena had to ruin it. coming in at 30.
Yeah, so I'm looking. So Snuka comes in at 18. Right. And the place pops because it's Jimmy Snuka, all that other shit hadn't come out yet. So
Oh yeah.
So at the time he was still regarded. And then very next number at 19. I mean, seriously, you hear those first beats of the drums.
Yes. Yeah. People go bananas.
I mean, you just hear that, and you just, I honestly have goosebumps right now talking about this, because it was such a great moment, you know, and you see these two guys recreate, you know, a famous feud from, you know, 2.5 decades earlier. And yeah, they're both old. They're both out of shape, but it really pops you for nostalgia. They didn't overstay their welcome. You know, they did their spot, and then Kane, you know, gets rid of them. But it was
perfect.
It was a tremendous moment, you know, which is, as much as we love matches, there are just as many great moments in wrestling, which makes us fans, really. So then he has confrontations with Santino Marella, as well as, and Honky Tonk gets involved in there. And then there's an episode of Raw, in February of 2009, where Chris Jericho is insulting WWE legends, and Piper interrupts him and ends up in a feud with him. And Jericho wrestles Piper, Steamboat, and Snuka at WrestleMania 25 in a handicap match.
That was a little sad.
Yeah, because all three guys, you know, were tremendous, you know, back when at their prime.
Steamboat was a lot better than them. Looking back on it, they probably should have just did Steamboat, because they did have the rematch with Jericho and Steamboat the next month. But it kind of made them look sad. All three of them going down to Jericho. No, even though Jericho did the tremendous heel work. It was. I'm not as big a fan of this. I'm more of a fan of like the next month, the match with the Steamboat, because it showed that Steamboat could still go. But for Piper and Snuka, it was a little sad.
Yeah, you know, and Piper, you know, comes up, shows up, he challenges Vince for a street fight. Then, but Randy Orton comes out, and then Kofi comes in to help out Piper. And then 2010, you know, he inducts Wendy Richter into the Hall of Fame. And then he appears the next night on Raw as one of the Legend Lumberjacks in a match that involved Christian and Ted DiBiase Jr. 2 months later, Piper hired DiBiase to capture guest host Quentin Jackson so he could gain revenge on BA, but was unsuccessful. I actually do remember that. Then he makes an appearance at WrestleMania 27, where he hits Zack Ryder with a coconut while he's being interviewed. And then later on, The Miz and Alex Riley were guests on Piper's Pit. This leads to Piper defeating The Miz in a match to win 5 G's. And then Piper's last documented WWE match was with, when he was The Miz match. And then he goes on to keep having Piper's Pits here and there. He had one with Cena. Then he goes on to have one with Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee on Raw 1000. Piper and other veterans helped Lita defeat Heath Slater. And then, you know, on various and so forth, you know, he had the Shield on in 2014. Yeah, he just, you know, would come back for sporadic appearances. And then he goes on the independent circuit to kind of round it out. And you remember anything from these the last few years when he was hanging around making appearances?
I believe he had a last pit or a last segment, I think, was with Rusev, which was real good. Mm-hmm. With on the 2014 with Rusev and Lana, his last pit.
Okay, yeah. So unfortunately, though, we lost Roddy early in his. He ends up passing away at the age of, trying to do my math right now, July 31st, 2015. Was he sick at the time? Do you remember?
No. I think it was 60.
Yeah, he was. It looks like he was 60.
Yeah, heart attack.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of talk about, though, his legacy outside of the ring. He had the Rock and Wrestling. You know, he was quite the character. Kind of talk about some of his movie roles, though. I remember Body Slam, the movie.
with him, yes, and the, I love
him
that.
And the Tonga
Body
Kid.
Slam was tremendous.
and Dirk Benedict.
a lot of wrestlers in that. Mm-hmm. Seek that one out. That's definitely entertaining.
He played Quick Rick Roberts was his.
Yep.
And then I remember Hell Comes to Frogtown, which I saw on USA Up All Night, where he plays Sam Hell.
Yeah, that's not as recommended as much.
No, because he has sex with a frog hooker, basically, in that movie. I don't know if I would recommend. Yeah, that's true. But then, like, probably one of his biggest role, I would say, is They Live, where he's John Nada, and has that very famous line, and Johnny, you know, you got to give it to us, Johnny.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
That's right. Yeah, and they, you know, I would seek that out. It's a cult classic.
It is, mm-hmm. And it's highly praised for one of the best fight scenes. Him and Keith David have like a have kind of like a street fight, a 10-minute street fight. And you know, even action fans admit that it's well done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or for horror, sci-fi, whatever the genre it falls into, it's definitely a praised movie. Mm-hmm. And even though it didn't come like out in the summer, I believe it came out like in the fall, like in a slow period. But it was number one at the box office. It did well, and it was surprising. Like he never really followed up on that. I'm not sure that he wanted to go back to wrestling, but he didn't really get another hit to follow up on that.
Yeah, I mean, he did some other. He did like a lot of smaller.
Yeah, roles. He fell into B movies, but. Mm-hmm. But never reached that level. They Live is really tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he tried to do that show with, I believe it was Jesse Ventura, called Tag Team.
Yeah, it didn't get picked up. Tag Team. Mm-hmm. They had high hopes for that, but they just did the pilot and it never got picked up. The pilot aired and that was it. So mm-hmm. It seemed like he wanted to turn acting into full time, but couldn't quite get another hit or something steady to make it happen. There's a there's a lot of B movies that he was in, and there's one I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it. There's one, it's called No Contest, and it's a straight Die Hard ripoff. and ironically, Robert Davi is in it, and he plays like the main cop, the hero cop, mm-hmm. and the main villain is the one and only Mr. Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh Jesus! Oh man, I gotta see if that's streaming somewhere.
Yeah. And I think Shannon Tweed is the hero, and Robert Davi is the hero cop, and Piper plays one of Dice's heavies. He plays one of the heel, one of the bad guys in it. It's it's worth checking out as a B movie.
Yeah. So like we talked about earlier, though, he does die at the age of pass away at the age of 61. He basically, I guess, wasn't feeling well, and tries to sleep it off and passes away in his sleep. He actually leaves a voicemail for Bruce Pritchard that night, telling him about this stuff. And then he gets the salute. He dies right after Dusty had passed away too. So yeah. That was a 1-2 punch of legends, that we end up losing. But kind of talk about his legacy as a wrestler, as a performer. And some of the we talked about things that people should seek out, but what are like the must watches, like your top like five must watches for Piper for everybody out there?
Well, I already said that I would definitely recommend the Home Video Classic, mm-hmm. The Rowdy Group Greatest Pit, just to get a difference of the time frame. Some of the matches with like Snuka and the Tonga Kid. Just the crowd heat, the intensity of the crowd at MSG, like all a mixture of him, of the hatred that he brought out of the crowd, and also how great a face that Snuka was, that the crowd really loved Snuka, which is another story. We won't go on that, but his just tremendous heel work, and I would just seek out watch as many pits as you can. Because he's always got a good one-liner and always good as an antagonist. Mm-hmm. And of course, the matches at WrestleMania 1 and 3, the retirement match and the WrestleMania 1 match, of course, is historic with Mr. T and the crowd and the atmosphere. And definitely that Mid-Atlantic, the 1782, the Jack Briscoe match, the Gordon Solie, him saving Gordon Solie and brawling with Morocco. And there's also a lot of good stuff from Georgia Championship Wrestling around that time, 1982, with him and Bob Armstrong. He's on commentary, and he's kind of needling Bob. Bob Armstrong is tagging with his son, and he's kind of needling Armstrong and his son, how, you know, Armstrong's old and weighing him down. A lot of good stuff there to seek out on the old YouTube.
All right, great stuff, Johnny. So, kind of where does Piper place though, in terms of, you know, all time, like, you know, where is he in terms of, you know, characters, talkers? I mean, is he in the upper, you know, top five, top 10, you think, of all time?
Well, yeah, it depends what category. If you're going by in the ring, that he's probably going to be ranked a little lower. But as far as his impact, the interviews, the promos, the character work, the heel work, and what he did to draw money and draw a crowd, and being that foil for Hogan, and just a major part of the whole rock and wrestling connection, which kind of took wrestling to another level financially and in popularity. Whatever you want to call it, top three, top five, he'll be in the conversation for you know, one of the best ever.
All right, great, awesome stuff, and thank you for coming on and talking about Piper, one of the great, like I said, great characters. If you're a wrestling fan, you know, you should know Piper. You should know a lot about Piper. But if you're unfamiliar with some of his work, definitely seek out all of Johnny's recommendations. And speaking of recommendations, John, where can people find you these days? You know, what's your, you know, if they could follow you on any of the social medias, what podcasts have you been on lately? What's going on with your regular shows? What do you got? Plug away.
Okay, at JadeIce7 on the old Twitter, and you can find me across the various feeds. I'll be we'll have a year in pop coming up for our monthly shindig. We'll discuss the great year of 1986. We're gonna have a lot of fun with that. And on the mothership, we just did the Stars and Stripes Forever lead up to WrestleMania 7. We did a live watch with Jacob Williams, Jordan Duncan, and the two PICs. That one's out there now. We had a lovely time with that. And in a couple weeks, we'll be chopping up on WrestleMania 7, which the pay-per-views are always epic. And, of course, WrestleMania, that's the granddaddy of them all. So those are always great shows with Justin and Scott. And I love doing those. And on the other network, the North-South Connection, Roger and Cowboy and Cowboy Senior, we have this week in the NFL. We're already 2 weeks in, and we got the three shows in already, and we're going to pretty much be banging them out every week. Look for that to drop every either Wednesday or Thursday. And this week in the NFL, just chopping it up about sports. We keep it to an hour. We don't get too intense, not too long, just a nice quick hour. We look at past at the week of games that happen, and we look ahead to the top games of the week. That's a lot of fun right there.
Oh yeah, lots of fun listens for that involve Johnny. I listened to This Week in the NFL. I actually just listened to the last episode of The Mothership where with you and JD and Jacob, and it was tremendous. I love those live watches, actually. Those are a lot of fun when the guys do. Also, what's your other show on the North South Connection there?
Thank you, sir. The ECW Extreme Three-Way Dance, where we're into 1995 ECW. We look at watch all the TVs with Justin and Jenny, and that's another good time.
All right, cool. As for me, you could check me out mostly over on the Pop Feed with a brand new show that I'm really proud of. I'm really happy because everybody, all the great talent here at Placement Nation, is buying in on this, and it's called Making Mount Rushmore, where I am moderating. I am not hosting. I am just there to let the talent shine and kind of shepherd them through the topics. But check it out. John's going to be on a future episode. I cannot wait for that. So check out Making Mount Rushmore. That's going to drop every other Monday on the PlayStation Pop Feed. Pop Goes the Classics. We'll be back soon with Miranda and Steve Riddle. We're going to be talking about Saludos Amigos and the Three Caballeros as part of our Disney series. The latest the latest Laugh in Theater with Jason Sherman, I Love You Man, just dropped. So you should check that out. As well as there are more episodes of Laugh in Theater coming very soon. Some of the movies that we're going to be watching, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Beer Fest, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Ted, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Lots of fun stuff. Check out Block. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of great comedies there. Johnny loves.
Well, a lot of my favorites, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Johnny's been on Laughing Theater and is always welcome to come back whenever he wants. Blockbuster Rewind will be back in October with the Scream franchise. That's myself, Scott Shiflett, and Eric Eels. And our guest will be the Podfather, Scott Criscolo. Talk about that. And I'll be joined by the lads. First, we're going to be doing a regular great debate for Over the Pop Feed. And then here on the wrestling feed, we have our wrestling version. So that, check those out. Those will be coming out within the next month to for your listening pleasure. But I want to say a big thank you to my friend, Jay Arsenio D'Amato. When you look up the term good people, like somebody's good people, this guy's picture is right there. And I really appreciate it. I enjoy every time I get to do a show with him, especially our one-on-one chats. And it was a true pleasure and an education for me, actually, to learn. And first guest on Evolution to give me homework, which I'm very thankful for because I got to see some Piper stuff that I hadn't seen yet. So, Johnny, I want to say a big thank you for coming on Evolution.
My picture's right next to yours. Thank you. You're going to make me cry going on. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure, man.
All right. Thank you very much. And for those of you out there, thank you very much for listening. Thank you to everybody here at Place to Be Nation for all their support. And we'll see you on the next episode of Evolution. Take care, everybody.
You do not throw rocks at a man with a machine gun.